Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next half hour I'll be taking you through the latest sporting action coming up on Ireland and beyond this weekend, coming up in tonight's programme. Sir Mark Cavendish has officially unveiled the NSC Raceway, now renamed in his honour. We hear from the Manx Missile himself. It's been all action this week in Manx Golf as we reach the semi-final stage of the Isle of Man Championships, which is being held tonight. We hear from a Manx professional triathlete who will represent Great Britain this weekend. We get the latest on an international tennis tournament which has been held on Manx shores over the last week. And racing action returns to Derby this weekend. That's all to come this evening. Hello and welcome and very good evening to you. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Let's dive straight into it. Today has been a special day at the NSC, which has seen a special part of the complex officially named after a Manx sporting legend. A ceremony took place today to formally rename the NSC Raceway the Sir Mark Cavendish Raceway, with the Manx Missile himself in attendance. And what's more, he was able to share in the celebrations with youngsters from the Ireland schools who got the chance to spend the day with their hero. And what's more on that, Cavendish spoke to Manx Radio Suku to explain what this occasion meant to him.
I started here like so many bike riders from the Isle of Man, and every Tuesday night I was racing here. It's where I found my love of the bike and love of the cycling community, and it's where so many others have. So I'm massively honoured. I'm massively honoured that the place I actually started, and not a new place, is trying to carry on any form of legacy that I've tried to create from the islands.
And you know, sitting here looking over at the track, you know, does it bring bring back that nostalgia for you, those Tuesday afternoons?
Every time I'm down here, I remember it. And it won't just be for me, it'll be for everyone that's ever raced down here. Yeah, it hasn't changed, the circuit's not changed. It's a good little, great little racing circuit, actually. And it's a great little vibe on a Tuesday night down here.
And how does it feel, you know, to see the next generation of cyclists using this facility?
It's great. I don't think it's ever stopped. Before I was riding a bike, kids were racing or riding around here. While I've been riding, as I started, there's kids riding and racing down here. As I've done my career, kids have been racing and riding here, and that'll continue always. And that's really nice. Cycling's a great sport to just get into, you know, not just for the health benefits or the racing feel, but for the community you get from it. It's a great community, and that's massively evident around here, especially on a Tuesday night.
Do you remember that moment when you fell in love with riding?
When I think about it, I was always in love with riding a bike. I didn't really know it at the time, but I always kind of loved the bicycle, you know.
Your career, it's taken you all over the world, but the Isle of Man is home to you. What does it mean to get the type of reception that you do get when you're here?
That's nice. Here's the best place in the world for me to come, because I'm still kind of just Mark. Yeah, this is a massive honour, you know, that I've got an island behind me, but it's also a privilege that I have a community behind me, and I can still just be Mark here, you know, and that's a refreshing change.
Manx Radio Sport.
So Mark Cavendish speaking to Manx Radio's Chanel Suku there at the newly christened Sir Mark Cavendish Raceway at the NSC in Douglas. Elsewhere, over the last 6 days, the 2025 Isle of Man Golf Championships have been taking place at the Comus at Mount Murray, and tonight we're really entering the business end of what is arguably the biggest event on the Manx golfing calendar. The semi-finals of both the men's and ladies' tournaments are getting underway tonight, and with a look back on what's happened so far this week and a look at tonight's schedule, I've been speaking with Isle of Man Golf Union President Gary Ash.
Well, we started on the Saturday with the men's qualifying event, and I think we had a field of 70. And which the 16 best scores get whittled down and they go to the match play stages. So we had a playoff because we didn't get to the exact amount. So we had a playoff on Saturday, which couldn't be decided. So we had a little run over on the Sunday morning for a couple of holes and we got through. So now we were down to the last 16, which were played on Tuesday night. There were some really close matches. None went to extra time, I don't recall. Ended up with 8, which were played last night. So now we're down to 4 for tonight on Friday. And the 4 will be Darrell Collister, who will be playing Jez Bradley, and Neil Kane will be playing Tommy Fenlon, so they're on Friday night.
And in terms of the women's competition, around 20 competitors this year as well.
That's correct, yeah. And they were also just had a qualifier of 8, so they went straight to a quarterfinals, and we had their matches last night, and now we're down to the semifinals, which will also be played tonight, which will be Karen Farger against Sarah Blackman, the 72-hole ladies champion. And the game that wasn't quite finished last night, the dark came in and the rain and just beat us. So Lindsay Tickle will play off against Shirley Price with just 2 holes to play, and Shirley Price is 1 up. And the winner of that match tonight will play Kaylee Dawson, 2-time Ireland lady champion, and that'll be the other semi-final.
And I suppose one of the big bits of news in the men's competition is that Robert Noom, the defending champion, winner 3 times in a row, knocked out in the latest round.
That's correct, yeah. Good match was had. I didn't actually watch it. I was refereeing one of the other matches, but I believe the game wasn't very much in the match, and then Tommy Fenlon just sneaked ahead on 15 and then 13-14-15, I believe. And so he won the match 3-2, or 16, actually, I think it was.
Yeah, 4-2 is the official card we were seeing there.
Yeah.
Well, a similar situation in the women's side, because, of course, it was Robert Noon and his sister Emma Noon who won both titles last year, but Emma Noon exiting the tournament as well to the recent Women's Stroke Play Championships winner, Sarah Blackman as well. So it will be a new name on both trophies this year.
Yeah, it's been they've had a good run, and Emma done particularly well last year. And Rob, I mean, he's had 12 of the, I forget, 4 matches a year you have to win, and I think it is 4, yeah. So he's had 12 matches unbeaten, which is a good run, and plus this year. So he had a couple this year. So yeah, he's done well to do what he has. It takes a lot.
And given that the fact, looking towards this weekend then, that the two previous champions have exited those competitions, who, in your opinion, has been impressing across both categories, male and female, so far?
Well, I don't think you can look any further than Daryl Collister, really. It'd be very surprised if Daryl didn't overcome Jez, but you never know. Match plays a leveler, and so, yeah. And Tommy Fenlon, to be fair to him, and both Neil Kane and Tommy both played well through. Tommy actually got in through the playoff to get into the match play stages. But yeah, Neil Kane's looked good. He is a member of Mount Murray, so he plays up there. So yeah. And with the ladies, I think Kaylee, she hasn't played an awful lot, but she seems to be coming to the fore now. So yeah, but we'll never know. We won't know for sure. Shirley Price has also been a former Ireland lady champion, so she could also go all the way.
As you previously mentioned as well, that that last spot, I guess, in the women's semi-final is still to be decided after play was suspended. But yeah, looking ahead to this weekend, for those who don't know, what's the schedule for these semi-finals across both competitions looking like?
Well, the schedule is Friday night. The just to finish off the game from last night, it's going to be at 4 o'clock. So hopefully that shouldn't take too long. And then at 5:30, the first match will be out, Daryl Collister against Jez Bradley. 5:40 will be Neil Kane versus Tommy Fenlon. Then Karen Farger against Sarah Blackman at 5:50. And then hopefully the other game will be either Lindsay or Shirley against Kaylee Dawson. That will be at 6 o'clock.
And of course, just finally, none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know how it's going to pan out, not just this evening, but over the weekend as well. But for whoever does get their hands on the respective men's and women's titles, just how big of a one is it for them as a local player?
Yeah, I think it's the pinnacle, really. You know, there's other trophies to be won, but the Isle of Man Championships is the pinnacle on the island.
Manx Radio Sport. Isle of Man Golf Union President Gary Ash there speaking on the 2025 Isle of Man Golf Championships, for which the semi-finals have been just getting underway in the last 8 minutes or so. Elsewhere, Isle of Man professional triathlete Will Draper is set to represent Great Britain and Northern Ireland this weekend. He's been selected to don the GB jersey for the elite men's race at the Elite World Triathlon Long Distance Championships in Pontevedra, Spain, this Saturday and Sunday. It's already been a busy month for the Manx Commonwealth Games competitor, who also had a wildcard entry to the T100 Triathlon World Tour Round in Canada from the 13th to the 15th of this month. Well, ahead of this weekend's challenge, I caught up with Will to find out how he feels to get a call-up as prestigious as this.
Yeah, it's obviously a great honour. It's nice racing in the GB kit. I'd prefer to be in the Isle of Man kit, like at the Commonwealth Games, but here we're flying under the Great Britain flag, like you would at sort of the Olympics or something like that. So, yeah, it's a great kind of opportunity to race people in their countries rather than their trade team kit. So everyone will be kind of in their different outfits. You've got France and Spain with some really strong contenders, and then I'll be the only British guy who's competing in the elite race, and my partner Chloe will be the only British elite female. But we have 80 age group athletes, so they compete within their age groups, which is like 5-year age groups, and we have 80 representing GB, so there's going to be lots out on the course. They'll be just behind us, and hopefully, because we've got that GB kit on, there'll be a lot of spectators giving us that extra boost on the way around, which will be nice.
Besides what is no doubt going to be very high quality competition there, with it being an international event, how do you think this sort of event might differ to what you've been doing previously since turning professional?
So at an event like this, the first thing that's different, or the major difference, is that, as we mentioned, we're racing for GB, so we're racing a GB kit rather than our own kit, and we have our sponsors on there. So I have my own sponsors, and Billboards IM stepped up to help me personally, which was great, because I've been able to get out here and keep relatively stress-free and get onto the start line. So the first difference, especially for me, is that all the guys I kind of would race usually against are now all racing in their country kit. So it's not the first time I've come across a lot of my opposition. And then there are some slight rule differences. If anything, it's slightly stricter. We're likely to see a lot more referees and officials out on the course, just because it's a much bigger event, and it's actually held over 9 days, because there's lots of different events, from duathlon, which is just running and cycling, to aquathlon, which is just swimming and cycling, to then different distances of triathlon. So it's a huge event, and they're really quite strict on the rules, which slightly differ than our normal events, which would be kind of Ironman branded stuff. And then everyone's going to be representing their nation, so everyone's going to look slightly different.
Looking to this weekend then, have you got any particular objectives in mind?
So this weekend is, yeah, it's a slightly longer duration than what I normally do. So if anyone's familiar with triathlon, they might have heard of a half Ironman distance and a full Ironman distance. So I specialize in the half Ironman, which is about 3.5 to 4 hours long, depending on how difficult the course is. And a full Ironman is about 8 hours long. So this is somewhere in between the two. So it'll take about 5.5-6 hours, which is more than I'm used to. And the field is a combination of guys who specialize in half and full. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of who plays their cards right, and whether it's the athletes that are used to going slightly faster can hold on, or whether the stronger athletes that are more used to the longer races are going to be able to pick that speed up. But for me personally, I think I'm going to race my own race and focus on my own performance, and just make sure that the run is going to be 30 kilometers long, so it's halfway between a half marathon and a full marathon, so it'll be my longest run. I'm quite an injury prone athlete, so I don't train high volume, but I've felt good, and in my previous races I've not dropped towards the end of anything. I've actually picked my speed up towards the end, so I'm hoping I can get some more sensations like that and deliver a personal performance that is good from start to finish, and then afterwards we'll look at the results and see how that placed me against the other guys.
Obviously, of course, with you being in the professional game, you're busy, it takes you all over the world, takes you to all sorts of different events, but if the stars aligned in future, could you see yourself maybe competing in triathlon for the Isle of Man again at some point?
Yeah, I'd love to. I especially want to race at the Island Games when it comes home. I believe it's in 2029. So I'll definitely be there. And the Island Games is coming up in a short time, and unfortunately I couldn't make it. Just the logistics of the location of the event and the other races I've got going on. But obviously I wish all the best to the team that are going out there. We've got a great team.
Manx Radio Sport. I'll have my professional triathlete Will Draper there, who's representing Great Britain and Northern Ireland in Spain this weekend. Meanwhile, over the last few days, the Isle of Man has been playing host to an international tennis tournament. The 2025 International Ireland Tennis Tournament is seeing the Isle of Man hosting and competing against squads from Jersey, the Faroe Islands and Cayman Islands in a series of events at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club. And as a result, there's been plenty of competitive action out on court each day since proceedings began last Sunday. And here with the details of what's happened up to now is Secretary of the Isle of Man Lawn Tennis Association, Paul Jarvis.
So we started off the competition last Sunday. That was started with a team event. And in the team event, there was a round robin, so they each played each island, two singles and a doubles if needed for a result. The winners of that competition, in the men's competition, it was the Faroe Islands that got the gold medal. The silver went to Jersey and the bronze went to the Isle of Man. In the ladies event, in the team event, Jersey secured the gold medal and the Isle of Man secured the silver medal there. It was Sarah Long and Ava Osterbury playing for us, and the bronze medal went to the Cayman Islands. That was on the Sunday and the Monday. On Monday afternoon, we then started the men's and ladies singles competitions, and on Tuesday the mixed competition and the men's doubles and ladies doubles competition. So those events have been playing during the week. We brought the finals of the competition forward by a day for the main events, so we played the final of the men's and ladies singles yesterday. In the ladies singles, the winner was Charlotte Clark from the Isle of Man. She secured the gold medal, defeating Abby Anderson of the Cayman Islands, and Lauren Fullerton of the Cayman Islands secured the bronze medal playing against Sarah Long. On the men's side, in the men's singles, the winner was Louis Keenan from Jersey, and he defeated Franco Estenhuizen from the Cayman Islands. Jonathan Lefebvre got the bronze medal, defeating Neri Grosvicius from the Isle of Man. Those matches were then followed by the men's and ladies doubles finals. The men's doubles finals was the gold medal was won by Jersey, who defeated the Cayman Islands. On the ladies' side, in the ladies' doubles, the gold medal was won by Jersey. They defeated the Cayman Islands again, who got the silver. The bronze medal in the ladies was again the Cayman Islands team, and in the men's it was Jersey. We still have outstanding matches, the gold medal match and the bronze medal match for the mixed doubles, and we're hoping to play those this afternoon, weather permitting.
Busy schedule, and the vast majority of that going ahead, even though you did have to move some of those finals, like you say, you have to bring them forward a day, I should say, because of the weather that's been expected. When we spoke ahead of the tournament, one of the main objectives you pointed out as well is that for these nations taking part, it was effectively going to be an alternative to the Island Games, which tennis isn't involved in. How much do you think you and all those involved have achieved that?
I think that's 100% been an achievement. I mean, the islands that have come have had a really good time. The Island Games is going to the Faroe Islands in 2027, and they're a fairly young association, and they've been very interested in looking at how we in the island have managed the event and scheduled the event. But they've had a really good time. In fact, they were, even though I wasn't playing matches this morning, the Faroe Island men have been up on our courts playing some tennis, just practicing again, even though they're not playing today.
And in terms of all the work behind the scenes as well, you know, naturally a lot of folks will be on competition, which sounds like it's been incredibly competitive and enjoyable, as you've mentioned, but all those behind the scenes that have sorted all the logistics to make things happen as well, a lot of hard work's gone into this, hasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of hard work. It doesn't just happen. You know, the players turn up, we have to make sure that everything is in place, and from the start of the tournament right through to even the medal ceremonies at the end, and there's just a lot of activity going on just to make sure the events run smoothly. I would say that I think it's gone really well from an organiser's point of view, and I think from a player's point of view. The odd moan about I've had to play five doubles matches or four doubles matches yesterday because we had to bring the events forward, but you know, it was that or play today, and I think they would prefer to play yesterday when the weather was a bit kinder.
And just finally, looking forward, once all is said and done with this tournament, how much do you think this could maybe provide a platform for the Isle of Man in future to potentially host more events like this, more international tennis tournaments?
Well, I think it's shown we've got the capability to do it. Obviously, we were operating off one site over the last week. We have got three sites that we could actually operate across if we needed to. Castletown and Albany both have tennis facilities that would support the tournament. So a multi-venue tournament is more difficult to organise, obviously, but we probably have got 9 or 10 match courts that we could utilise across those three clubs. It would be a challenge, but it would be an interesting one.
Manx Radio Sport. Isle of Man LTA Secretary Paul Jarvis there, and you may have heard from Paul there that we were waiting to hear on the mixed doubles results that were still to go. Well, we do have those in now, and the winners of the mixed doubles this afternoon, Natasha Forrest and Louis Keenan of Jersey. So Jersey clearing up in all the doubles competitions there this year. Meanwhile, the latest round of the Andretti Racing Association Championship takes place at Jerby Motordrome in the north of the island this weekend. ARA Club Secretary Neil Champion explains what's in store and has also been reflecting on the recent achievements of some of the association's graduates.
Like everyone on the island, I think we all kind of take a big breath out just as the TT finishes, don't we? And then real life takes a few days to get going again. Yeah, we've got some real standouts from this year. Obviously, I've got to start with Ryan and Callum Crowe. They did the double this year, but they didn't just win their two races. They kind of were just such a step above the rest of the opposition. And there was really, as long as they kept going, there was really never any doubt. And they pushed that lap record just a little bit higher as well. And we're incredibly proud of them. They're our most illustrious alumni at the moment. But I also got to mention Mikey Evans. I'm not going to stray on to the downside of his TT, but the fact that he joined the 130 mile an hour club this year is just incredible. You know, there's a pretty small handful of people who've cracked that bar, and now he's one of them as well, which is really, really good. We also had a load of our riders at the pre-TT as well. Grant Thompson won both the two big races, the Junior Classic Superbike and the Senior Classic Superbike. And I am just also going to briefly mention that somebody else was also in the Senior Classic Superbike, me, and I just scraped into the top 10 as well. So I'm pretty proud of that. Still get the leathers and helmet on occasionally, so pleased with that.
Turning our attention then to what is going to be happening this weekend. So the latest round of the ARA Championship and the latest testing slash race school session. So again, for a bit of a summary of those who maybe don't know the ins and outs of it, could you just explain what's coming up this weekend?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so we're there Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is race day, so we've got a whole slew of races for the day. The morning starts with practice and qualifying, and then we get into the racing. We get a few races done before a short break for lunch, and then we're back out again. So that's a pretty full-on day. It's just £6 for adults to get in there, and under 16s are free, so you can come for the family. It's an affordable day out, and we get a good scutch of spectators there nowadays, and the paddock's all open, so you can see what's going on. So it's a good thing to see. The Saturday is a little bit lower key. There's no actual racing, it's testing, but there's bikes on track again from about 9:30 in the morning. We do charge spectators for that, but it's only £3 to get in on the day.
When it comes to the racing on Sunday, of course, we're now several rounds in to the ARA Championship for 2025. So where do we stand at the moment in terms of who is, I suppose, making an impression across the classes at the moment?
Yeah, so I've got the championship table in front of me, and if my eyesight will just about cope with this, well, I hope it will. So the Crow boys, as I mentioned earlier, they're in our sidecar championship, and one that would be forgiven for presuming that they're in the lead, but they are in the lead. The solo championship is actually looking pretty interesting, really, because Jamie Kringle, who has won multiple times, he is leading it, but he's not far. He's being kept honest by Rory Parker, who's only a few points behind him. And the last meeting I was at, I was watching Rory, and I think he's taken a little bit of a step up this year. So it's really good to see someone giving Jamie a good run for his money. And then with the other names we've got in there, Kyle Casement, Grant Thompson, Michael Evans, they're all really, really fast boys. You look at the lap times they're doing, and it's really phenomenal. And these guys are all out there showing their skills elsewhere across the island and across in the UK as well. So that's looking really good. Just to pick a few other names out, Francesco Feraldo is out on his single, which is and he's got a super twin as well. He's really fast. He's showing really well in that. And a rider who started with us, for example, Grant Thompson did only just a couple of years ago, you know, and now he's out winning events on the roads. But another name that I know who came through with us, Lex Gaval, and it was only a couple of years ago. Now he's leading a couple of championships as well. This year, there's a few other people keeping him, making him work for that. But you know, to see a guy who was just with the race school a couple of years ago is really, really good. So yeah, all the championships are pretty toughly fought. So there is absolute competition at the front.
Manx Radio Sport. And finally tonight, we're continuing our countdown to the 2025 Island Games in Orkney, which are being held from the 12th to the 18th of July. And this week, we're hearing from the Isle of Man's triathlon team. And to find out more, I spoke recently with team manager Ewan Kinley and competitor Clara Isaac, who will be making her Island Games debut this year.
I'm not actually going to the Games this year, so we've got a stand-in team manager, which is Phil Swales. And firstly, I'd just like to thank Phil, because Phil does an awful lot of work for the club. In fact, he's taken all our bikes up to the Games. him and Cleo, you know, from Swales Flooring, a bit of push for them. They've done an awful lot for the club, and Phil does everything for us. So it doesn't matter what the athletes want, he sort of accommodates for them. But going into the games, I think the preparation has been really good.
And Clara, you're a new addition to the team this year, and I suppose in the grand scheme of things compared to some around you, a fairly new addition to triathlon in general as well. So how much are you looking forward to this experience?
Yeah, I'm really excited. So I started triathlon just a year ago, and the May sprint was my first ever triathlon. Don't know what asked me to do it, but super grateful to be asked to go to the Island Games this year in Orkney. So yeah, we're feeling ready. It's been what feels like a long winter's training, but ready to get out there and give it a go.
And June, along with Clara, there's a few new additions to the team compared to Guernsey just under 2 years ago as well. What fresh impetus do you think this new team will bring this year?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we get new people into it. Certainly, and we just spoke before we came on air about the women's team, and this year we've got four women going in the individual, and it's the first time I'm pretty sure that we've ever had four or been in a position to take four women to the event, which is really good. And out of those, there's only Caitlin Gelder, who has competed before at Island Games, so there's three new people, but really strong athletes. And again, in the men's, we've got people who've come back who have competed before, but we've also got a couple of new people in that as well. So, you know, it's really good that we've got younger people coming through and talented athletes as well.
Like we've already mentioned, a newer addition to the sport as well. What kind of got you hooked on the sort of triathlon bug, if you like?
I think what's really good is that it's, you know, personal growth, so you focus on your own time. And at the sprint, for example, you get set off in waves, so you could maybe get caught up in thinking, oh, I'm going to be this place or last place, or I'm going to take up so much time. But it's not, it's more like go out, achieve your own time. And what I really like about it is I can constantly work to progress on my previous set PB, so to speak. It's not what I'd say a set field where you feel like you're, you know, first or last. It's, this is my time, this is how I can grow up on myself and working towards constantly improving. And I love every element of that. And it's been a great challenge as well. You know, the Isle of Man's perfect for it, a lovely place to train. Yeah, and I think it'd be, you know, amazing to see more and more people get involved.
What is the hope? What would class as a successful Island Games this year?
I think certainly a success, and I think it's really achievable that both the men and ladies team that will team medal, certainly silver, if not gold. And individually, as you say, the females are a little bit unknown at that level of competition. Guernsey and Jersey always turn out new females, so it's hard to predict what they're going to have. Certainly in the men's, I would think our three or four of our men are going to be in the top 10, and even if they're not in the top half dozen, certainly one or two of them there have got to be pushing for medals, individual medals.
And that's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests, as always. And don't forget as well, if you want to catch up on any of the Isle of Man sports news this week or further beyond that, head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com. And if you want to listen back to any of this programme, it'll be available as a podcast very shortly. Have yourself a wonderful Friday and have a wonderful weekend as well. But until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.